Okay, the next one. So, Chris.
Yes.
And I'm up here looking at your booklets. I'm skipping over some here, but don't go there yet. So, Chris, why did you choose your present job? In other words, why did you choose your present work that you do?
Well, you know, it actually goes clear back to 1987. I was taking a psychology class, and somebody taught NLP. One of the professors did, and I was just so excited about it that I decided to make a career out of it. And so then 2 weeks after I graduated with my degree in psychology, I met you. And then we started working together, and that was 26 years ago, and that's why I chose it.
Okay, so why did you choose your present job? So ask your partner that question. Write down verbatim again. Notice this taking us 1 minute each, max. So y'all get your answers? So this one is called reason. Our continuum here is options versus procedures. Procedures means that if you're procedural in a situation, you need a procedure to follow to know what to do, to get started and follow through. So you need to know, you need the clear roadmap, like Chris said, of what to do in a particular situation. There are certain fields that are all based on procedure, aren't there?
Yes.
As an attorney, like law, it's all procedural. Things are out of procedure, you can even destroy the whole case, right? If you don't follow it. So we have procedures. And options are the opposite of that. This is like being creative, inventing new things. It's like a new situation. So if somebody's very optional, they won't follow procedures. They'll break all the rules. They'll do it in some new and novel way. And I tend to be really optional. I probably wasted more time trying to find a different way of doing certain things than do it the efficient way that I already knew about. And so options is like, it can all be a new thing. So sometimes creativity is here. And this is efficiency. At least generally, unless the procedures are bad. Interesting thing is, which one's better here, do you think? Options or procedures? Does it depend by context?
Yes.
Totally, right? Would you like to go to a legal system where it was all optional and the judge was creative about it? Well, yeah, we had that law yesterday, but didn't like it. So.
Dave?
So would you think in flying, options or procedures are better?
Options or procedures in flying?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what would pilots have a big, long checklist that they have to follow? Chris's stepdad is actually a pilot for American Airlines. And he said, everything's procedural. You've got procedure, 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 procedure. And if you run out of those, then you go optional. It's like Captain Sully did on the Hudson. But he went through all his procedures before he ever did that, and he talked about that.
So the biggest challenge in the Delta Northwest merger was that Northwest pilots had no options at all in how they accomplished things, and Delta gives their pilots freedom in how to accomplish objectives.
Hmm.
And so they started mixing crews. So you might get on a flight, you're on the Delta Northwest flight, and a mixed cockpit causes a lot of confusion because the Northwest pilots are at a loss. They say, well, how do I do that?
That explains a lot, because we just flew that crew out of Houston to Europe. Anyway, thank you for telling me that. That explains something. Anyway, his question was, how would you... Yeah.
But flying is very... Pilots usually have to follow procedures. If you violate procedures, you get fired really fast in that game. So when you're talking options there, it's probably after all the procedures have been exhausted. Or it's some other level of things that has to do with not just flying the airplane.
And my sense is, Dave, is that had been the same for the crews, because the crews on the plane were mixed, meaning the flight attendants, and you could just tell they were really at odds, you know, and this was a flight all the way to Europe.
Well, they have different corporate cultures. You know, Continental merged with United, and they don't like each other. If you've flown a lot, like to Japan back and forth, people will talk about that. In fact, we were on the plane the other day, on the United plane, the guy said, welcome to Continental, the pilot. And it was obvious that he was still wedded to his, it was like 3 years ago or something. So anyway, options is you want to be creative, you were inventive, you want a new thing every time. You see the world as a brand new possibility. Procedures is you follow a fixed procedure to get things done. Interestingly, procedural people are more procedural, really have a challenge creating procedures. They're created by these people. On the other hand, the people that are optional don't follow procedures, they'll break all the rules.
So it's funny, in the context of work, I happen to be procedural, especially when we're in the office. And what I know about myself is a lot of times I don't even know where to get started on something, and I know that sounds silly. So the options people, which Tim is an options person, are really good at creating procedures. And so now I'll just ask them, you know, well, so what's the procedure? Where do I start? As soon as I get the starting place, then I know what to do. Yeah. So that's how this can be helpful for yourself as well, because once you know these things about yourself, then you can figure out how to operate more effectively in the world as well.
Years ago, I had a secretary who, since I travel a lot, I would go to her and I'd say, okay, well, I'm leaving. I'll be leaving tomorrow. So I won't be here, but when I'm after that, would you call the people on this list and tell them about such and such? And she'd say, sure. And I'd come back and it wasn't always done. And that happened a number of times, and I thought, this is puzzling because she's not lazy. I mean, she's definitely was committed, was a good worker, was a bright person. And it suddenly occurred she's procedural. So I walked in and I said, okay, tomorrow I won't be here, but come in, sit down at your desk, pick up this page, look over this list, just go down the list, call this one, then this one, then this one, and tell them blah, 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 blah. And guess what? Always done after that. Because if somebody seems like they're not getting started and they're spinning their wheels, often they don't have a procedure. There's no starting place. So they don't know what to do. It's like, I don't know what to do here. And this one changes again by context. How many of you, when you're learning something brand new, will follow the recipe first? If you're a good NLPer, that you'll follow the technique first before you get fancy with it. You know, if you're learning something like change history and you go, well, that's a cool idea, but I'm going to do it a whole different way, you may not ever learn how to do it. But if, I remember years ago, actually, I was a teenager, and I was watching TV on a Saturday afternoon for some reason, and there was a special on Picasso. And I was really interested in art, so it kind of sucked me into that. And they were interviewing Picasso, and they started the show by showing this little elderly gentleman looking at one of Picasso's paintings in a museum. And he was looking at it, and this French gentleman, and he said, a monkey could paint this. And so they showed that to Picasso, and they said, well, what do you make of that? And he said, well, a monkey could paint that if a monkey could paint these things first. Then they showed his history. You know, he had these times where he painted things that looked photographic. And then he had times when they had went through different periods of cubism and all this stuff. So he evolved his work. But at the end of his career, what he was really doing is he's saying, what were the fewest lines he could make, for example, on a portrait, and show not only the person but the emotion behind that? And that's the one the guy was saying, a monkey could do that, because there's, you know, like 12 lines. And it was a painting called, I can't remember the name, it was somebody's name, but it was like Fred or something, it wasn't that, but you get the idea, it was just the name. But it was just a few lines, and it was like, well, a monkey could do that. And it's like Picasso was saying, if you're going to learn something, follow the procedure first, and then get fancy with it. And I always think NLP works the same way. If I learn a new recipe, I'm more likely to follow the recipe the first time, and then adjust it to fit what I think later. Dana, you had a... Somebody
here. Yeah, so I went from
Go ahead, Dana.
Go ahead, Dana. Here.
I went from a corporate career where I had very standard procedures, so it was easy for me to have to think about anything, to being self-employed. And I'm finding a really hard time getting things done and just knowing what to do first and, you know. So how can I realign myself to...
Well, there's several ways. One, if you have enough options, create your own procedures. What's a routine you'd want to follow? And once you have that figured out, then you're going to be more likely to be successful. If not, hire a coach who can help you, an NLP coach that gets this, and they can help you coach around that.
Okay.
There's probably several
they can
people.
Help you figure out a procedure.
A procedure that would get you going. Probably you could do it.
You still need your own procedure.
Yeah. By the way, there are times when we're more procedural during the day. How many of, if you want to build in a new habit, what's usually the best time to do it?
Morning.
Why is that, do you know? Well, maybe, but...
You already have a morning routine.
How many of you have a morning routine already? And if you think about it, take a moment and think, what do you do right after you get up and then to out the door or till you're in your home office? How many of you do about the same thing? You know, you get up, you go to the bathroom, you have a cup of coffee, you take a shower, you get dressed, most of us have that, some kind of routine that's like that. Have you ever had that routine interrupted? And you forget to do part of it? You know, I found a couple of times I'm ready to shave and the phone rings, I go back, and then later on the day I'm going, oh, I didn't shave today. Left that one out. Because the routine, you know, when we have a procedure, it's one activity anchored to another one. When you're really good at following procedure, that's why they're so efficient. That's why virtually every company's got those. That's why they work so well. Now, procedures can also bog you down and hold you back, right? We get stuck in the old procedure and there's new, better ways to do things, we can get stuck. But again, this is like, one isn't better than the other, it's better by context. If you had a brain operation needed, would you want a surgeon that followed approved procedure? No, you'd want that until whatever they were doing didn't work, and then you'd hope they'd be creative enough to figure something out, right? But medicine's another field where, like flying, where you're, you know, you spend 5 years learning procedure. I think law is the same way. And there are times when the legal procedure actually gets in the way, but it's still the best thing we know how to do, right?
In medicine, we actually have algorithms, but mostly registered nurse, but there's algorithms that you could follow as well that we have to follow procedurally, especially
yeah.
In legal situations.
And if you don't, you can be in legal trouble, right? Even if what you do works.
And like we keep saying, these all change across contexts, so take when you pack to go on a trip, you could be procedural or you could be optional. You know, how many of you, when you pack, you have a specific procedure for how you're going to get ready? I see you nodding, and you too, David. Where some people, like Tim and I, you know, we go to Japan and our sponsors laugh at us because we have so much luggage. You know, we are way options. But the other thing, maybe
it's like the Kindle's the best thing I've ever owned because I used to take 10 books with me because I didn't know which one I'd want to look at, right? But now it's all on a Kindle, so I could just take it anywhere. So, David.
So what do you do with, like, our society seems to be getting more procedural, and you're an optional person living in that more. Society's getting more procedural, and it's
you can make the opposite argument with technology, though, right?
Yeah, that's true. I was thinking that some people are breaking out and world,
yeah, well, we're in a fairly creative part of the world here in the Bay Area compared to a lot of places. So think about all the entrepreneurial spirits. Which one would they be, an entrepreneur?
Optional.
They're going to be much more. If you think Steve Jobs, he probably wasn't very procedural. And if you read his book, he got angry with people when they were too procedural, or he'd fire them. So we have options and procedures. I think part of it, though, is what Metaprograms did for me, and I don't know if it'll do this for you or not, David, but when I understood people better, I stopped being so frustrated with them. I went, oh, that's the way they've learned to be. That's how their filters are. That's how they're making sense of the world. So if I want to be an accepting person, I go, ah, his map of the world's really different than mine. How can I interact with it in a way that's better for me and them? So that'd be more the goal I would hope you'd all have for this. Some people who are, if they're extremely different than you, can be frustrating, but it's also, they're giving you a lot of keys to what you can do to be helpful or effective with them.
And again, you can adjust, sorry, come right back to you. Again, you can adjust your language for these as well. So if you're talking with somebody that's more procedural, you can map it out for them and give them the specific steps and a structure to work within. Whereas if somebody's more optional, then you can literally give them different options and present them to them and ask them, you know, depending on whether they're externally or internally referenced, which one is best for you.
So if I was supervising somebody that's very optional, I might say, I'll give you the bottom line and get out of your way. You can figure out how to get it done. If you need support or help, come back and talk to me. For somebody procedure, I'd say, here's the proper way to do it. So procedural language would be, here's the way. Now, by the way, if the way to tell from the question, I'm realizing we didn't go there, if somebody's optional, they'll give you criteria. So Chris would ask me, why did I choose my present job?
Yeah, so why did you choose your present job, Tim?
Because it's fun and interesting, and I knew I could make a difference in the world, and I get to travel. And so I'm giving her, there's no story there. So that's, if I give her criteria words back, I'm optional. If I give her a story, she gave me a total story, right? It goes back to 1987, and she told me how she got there. Sometimes, again, you get both. So if I were options and procedures, more of that, she could say.
Why did you choose the job that you're in?
But I noticed the question is, why did you choose the job? Which is a weird question.
It's procedure, yeah, process and procedure, the way.
Here's the way.
Step-by-step efficiency, procedure. Options, people, you would say things that are creative-based, or you figure it out. So you figure it out.
There are lots of possibilities here.
You can even say, here's the options.
So options and procedures. But by the way, the question is really important here. Why did you choose your present job? If you ask how did you choose it, you're going to get a story most of the time. Because people will think of the procedures. Say, why did you choose it? Then people will tend to do that way. So if they're mixed, it'd be something like...
So Tim, why did you choose your present job?
Well, I kind of fell into it because I was taking this, I was teaching this class, and a woman came up and gave me a book on, a manuscript on NLP called They Lived Happily Ever After by Leslie Cameron Bandler. That was before she and Richard got a divorce. And I knew that I could have a lot of fun doing it. I'd be energized. I could make a difference in the world. I could really help people. So I'm giving her both, right? And you want to listen to the degree to which I'm giving her both. So if I get a big long story and a couple of criteria words, I'm mostly procedural. If I give her a bunch of criteria words, a little bit of story, I'm probably more optional. But again, there's nothing you can do quicker to demotivate an options person by having them follow a fixed pattern. You all met Susie, and one time when Susie and I first started, we had a business together, a training business, and we decided to take some money that we had in the business. We thought, what if we invested some of it? So it was about the time when all these Nothing Down seminars were going on. I don't know if any of you remember those. Robert Allen, does he ring a bell? He's still teaching those. But you buy there's a way to negotiate properties for nothing down. So we went and found one. We got a Nothing Down property that we thought we could rent out, but needed some work. So we were going to, this was a long time ago, so we had to paint it and stuff. So we got paint. Susie's in one room painting, and I'm in the other room painting. So I've got my roller, and I'm going like this, and making faces on the wall and stuff. And she came in, and she went, how are you doing? Why are you doing that? That's not how you paint. She said, you come in here, and this is how you paint. And she had all the corners painted, and then she said, once you've got the corners painted, then you roll it up and down. And I said, I don't want to do that. That looks really boring. I'm going to do it this way. And she said, you shouldn't be doing it that way. At the end, she admitted, she said, I really can't tell any different. And you got finished about the same time I did. So, but it's the idea of, she had a procedure for painting in that context. She's not always procedural, but she was there. And I didn't, so you get the idea between these two, right?